Welcome to Scripture Verse by Verse. My name is Mike Moret, and today we begin a brand new study in a brand new book. We're going to begin to study the book of Joshua. We are in Joshua chapter 1, verse 1. And Father, we ask that you would add your blessings to the word that we are about to study together. In Jesus' name, amen. This is a book of new beginnings. New beginnings for the Israelites as they enter into the promised land and take it. It is about a new leader and new challenges. And it says in verse 1, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide. Now, stop there for a second. I just want you to notice the contrast between Joshua and the man he succeeded, Moses. Moses had been known for 40 years as the servant of the Lord. He was God's main man. Meanwhile, Joshua is referred to as simply the son of Nun. I think that really illustrates the big shoes Joshua had to fill when he followed Moses as leader of Israel. Tough position for Joshua to be in. Verse 2. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people, get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I am about to give to them. Moses, my servant, is dead, says God. Now get ready to go into the promised land. For 40 years, any thinking person in Israel would have said that Moses, he is the one man that we need. If anyone is indispensable to this country, it has got to be Moses. He prays for us. He leads us. He shows us God's way. Well, Moses is dead, as God says. And by his death, God will show that the Lord is the only indispensable one. The plan of God transcends any one person, even a great person like Moses. And so God says, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people, get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I am about to give to them, to the Israelites. Some big changes for the nation Israel. And, you know, walking with God demands flexibility. If you're going to keep up with God's will for you, then you have to be flexible, not too set in your ways. I'm not talking about morally. I'm just talking about in specific things. Walking with God demands flexibility. Excuse me. Like here, Israel had a new leader, Joshua, a new leader with a new challenge too. Take the Holy Land. This is a huge change from what's been going on for 40 years. And God's plan for us is constantly evolving and constantly going forward. Verse 3. God says, I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert and from Lebanon to the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country, and to the great sea on the west. And if we were looking at a map together, I could show you exactly the territory within these boundaries. And I can also tell you that if the United Nations had been around back in those days, they would not have recognized Israel as a nation, a nation who had the right to settle in the Holy Land with the boundaries that God laid out here, anyway. But God said, according to my globe, that land belongs to Israel. God, in his version of the Homestead Act, said, it is yours for the taking, Israel. 5. No one will be able to stand up against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you or forsake you. In other words, Joshua is going to be successful. Not just because God said it, not just because God promised it, but because God will be with Joshua, making sure that his promise comes to pass. The Bible says that God performs his oaths. He doesn't just swear. He doesn't just promise. He promises, and then he gets personally involved in the situation to make sure that his promise comes to pass. And that's what he does with all of his promises. And that's what he's doing with Israel and Joshua right here. No one will stop Joshua. No one stops God. Verse 6. God says, be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their forefathers to give them. Joshua, be strong and courageous. In other words, Joshua must be confident. Joshua cannot show signs of panic, signs of doubt. If Joshua panics, it spreads and probably leads to another widespread rebellion against God among the Israelites. And believe me, that nation cannot afford another rebellion against God. Joshua, like anyone, needs to know that he is in God's will, and then he needs to pursue it with everything he has. Verse 7. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. The key to success for Joshua and for the Israelite army is to be obedient to God. And that obedience is especially important for Joshua, because he is the leader. And leaders either lead by example, or they do not lead at all. Verse 8. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. In other words, read the Bible. Repeat the Bible. And talk about the Bible as much as you can, Joshua. Keep it fresh in your mind, because those things will lead to obeying the Bible, which will then lead to success for Israel. Being what God wants us to be begins with a choice. A choice to take in as much scripture as we possibly can. Verse 9. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. God commanded Joshua. And yes, he commanded him to be strong and courageous. But I think you can go back further. He commanded Joshua to take the army of Israel and conquer the promised land. And that command, That's the key to Joshua being courageous. And here's why. God commanded Joshua to cross the Jordan River and to lead the army against the Canaanites. And since God never commands us to do something that we cannot do with His help, Joshua can be courageous and he can be confident. It is a matter of faith. Oh, let's see. God commanded me to do this. It's a big challenge, but He commanded me to do it. Therefore, since He never commands us to do something He doesn't give us the power to do, I can be confident it's going to get done. See? And that's true with all of His commands. Verse 10. So Joshua ordered the officers of the people. Now, Joshua speaks to his military officers here. Verse 11. Go through the camp and tell the people, get your supplies ready. 3 days from now, you will cross the Jordan here to go in and take possession of the land the Lord your God is giving you for your own. Everyone in Israel had to carry their own weight, doing their part, if things are to go well. And that would include, at the very least, being ready to go when Joshua says go. 12. But to the Reubenites, the Gadites, and the half-tribe of Manasseh, Joshua said, now, these three tribes, two and a half to be precise, these two and a half Israelite tribes were given their territory on the east side of the Jordan River, where everybody is standing right now. The west side of the Jordan River, that was the mainland, the Holy Land, that was the mainland. The east side, where these two and a half tribes were given their territory by God, would sort of be like Alaska and Hawaii compared to the mainland, the 48 states. And so Joshua has a special word for those three tribes. Verse 13, remember the command that Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave you. The Lord your God has given you rest and has granted you this land. God gave these three tribes their land on the east side, but He gave it to them with a condition. And really, the only way to get off to a good, fresh start in their new home is to obey that condition. And here it is, verse 14. Your wives, your children, and your livestock may stay in the land that Moses gave you east of the Jordan, but all your fighting men, fully armed, must cross over ahead of your brothers. You are to help your brothers. And so, the condition and the act of obedience for these three tribes means this: leaving their families behind in the land that God gave them and going into the mainland to help their brothers conquer their portion. Verse 15, until the Lord gives them rest, as He has done for you, and until they too have taken possession of the land that the Lord your God is giving them. After that, you may go back and occupy your own land, which Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave you east of the Jordan toward the sunrise. And so, because the other nine tribes are family, the three tribes here should help them to get what they themselves already have. And they want to. It's not a big ordeal for them. And it shouldn't be, because if you care about someone, you will not be happy unless they are happy. We'll pick up our study in verse 16 next time. Until then, Mike Moret here. So long, everyone.